I've been doing some reading personal in the book of Job. There's some lessons and things that I don't say we're going to study the whole book. Depends on what the Lord has for us. But certainly there are some very important lessons that are in this book. And I want us to ask the Lord to bless it and to teach us the things that He would have us to learn from it. We're going to read, first of all, the first chapter, and then we're going to do a little background just for a little bit, and then look at some things. And I'm going to read the first chapter. I might say, as we go along in these things, I'm going to be referring, not necessarily today so much, although some, I'm going to be referring a lot from the New American Standard and the Amplified Bible. The New American Standard does a much better job, as far as I am concerned, of translating Job. Now, it does a lot of other places as well. And I think that's important for you to have some other translations there by you when you're studying the Bible. So you don't trust the King James? That's not it at all. We study from the King James here in school. We read from it here in the pulpit. I love its language. I love its literature. I love its expression. But having an amplified Bible there, or New American Standard, is very helpful. It will open up scriptures sometimes that you don't get the meaning clearly in the King James. Now, let's read the first chapter. There was a man in the land of Uz. By the way, Uz is the same place that Abraham came from. And this man, Job, was probably a contemporary of Abraham. This book of Job was written before the law was ever given. It is the oldest piece of literature that we have in the Bible. It's older than Genesis. It's older than all the books of the Pentateuch as far as its age is concerned. That's important, don't you think, to study and understand that? That'll tell you something, you know, and as you approach it, to study it, all right? There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed, that means he turned away from evil. He didn't chew it up. If he did, he spit it out. It means he turned away from. So he feared God and he turned away from evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Now that's Job. He is the most important man of the East, of the whole East. There wasn't much West in those days. Just some cannibals and maybe some others. All civilization was in the East. You understand that? This was before the westward movement. And so he is the greatest. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day. I think that probably means on his birthday. In other words, every time, I'm not sure that means that, but that could well be what this is talking about. In other words, whenever one would have a birthday, they'd all gather at his house to eat. And sent and called for their 3 sisters. Now, they were nice. Didn't say that they had parties for them on their birthday, but they let them eat at theirs, to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. He wasn't like these modern-day parents. He believed in the possibility of his children doing wrong. Old-fashioned Job. He said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. He knew they didn't do it outwardly. They dared not. Outwardly, they were good Christians. But he said, you know, there may be one of them that ain't saved. There may be one of them that's a hypocrite. Can you believe that? There may be one of my children that's a fraud. You parents ever study about that? Don't push your children to decisions. Don't push your children to decisions for Christ. He won't forget them. He'll draw them to himself. The Holy Spirit will do the work. Trust him. Trust him. See? It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job knew young people, he knew his children, and he kept them before the Lord. This is some man. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I'm not going to try to talk about that now. Probably won't be able to talk much about it at all because I don't understand it. But it happened. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Well, that's what, see, he's the God of it. He's the God of it. It's not his. It belonged to God. But he usurped it because he bought it from Adam. He got it from Adam for an apple. See? Or whatever the fruit was. Just as well have been the apples as anything else. But we don't know what it was. He said, so I've been looking at my property. That's what the devil said. I've been strolling around the world. I go from place to place. I just walk around in it. I go all over the world looking at my place. I'm the God of this world. See? All right? And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? You see, the Lord knew what he was doing walking around. He was looking for righteous people to bother. That's what he was doing. And so God said, Have you considered Job? Did you think about him? Now I want to give you right here what God's opinion of Job is. Actually, that opinion over here in verse 1 is God's opinion. And now God says it himself. Notice now. And the Lord said, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect. Now that didn't mean that he was sinless, had reached some standard or level of perfection. It meant that his heart was perfect and he walked perfectly before the Lord. God said, perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and turns away from evil. He will not do evil. If evil comes around, he turns away from it. He walks away. Now, that was God's opinion of Job. Now, I want you to hold that in your head all through our study, because the problem with most people that I read when I study the book of Job, most people blame Job, and they put more upon Job. They almost are as bad as his friends. You know, Job needs somebody to stand up for him. Thank goodness God did. Thank goodness God did. I want you to understand that you'll see that as we teach the book of Job, we're not going to make Job the bad guy of the book because God said he was the good guy. Now, does that mean he was sinless and that he didn't need to learn something? No. God would not have turned Satan loose on him if he hadn't loved him so much. He wanted him to have some special revelation. He wanted him to have some special truth. And did you know that's why God turned Satan loose on you? Have you ever become worthy of Satan's attack? Have you? Have you ever become worthy of Satan's attack? You see, when God loves somebody specially, he sticks the devil on them. How you like that? That's what he does. You know why he does it? He wants them to grow. He wants them to expand. He wants them to learn. He wants them to have a better understanding of God. God is anxious that we know. God is not interested in keeping us in the dark. I've said that so many times. God is interested in teaching us. Most of us are not willing to be taught. We have the same problem that school children have. You fuss at your little kid and say, you get yourself in there and listen to that teacher. And then you don't do it with God. You get in there and you pay attention to what that teacher says. And that teacher says something mean or tough or hard to your kid, and you say, that teacher better not say that again to my kid. Isn't that the way, parents are? Yeah. That teacher better not say that again to my kid. You don't love your kids. You say, I do. You're a liar. I'll call you a liar till the judgment day. You're a liar. You don't love your kids. God loved Job, and he turned the devil loose on him. He didn't have to bring up this conversation with Satan at this occasion and say, what about Job? See? Notice now. Satan answered the Lord and said, you're paying him off too good. Oh, that's not what King James says. It says, doth Job fear God for naught? Is he getting anything out of it? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. In other words, Job is serving you because it's beneficial. It's profitable to serve God. And that's why Job is serving you. That's the devil's lie. Okay? That's his accusation, you see, against the godly. That's the way the devil accuses the godly. Now, he said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to the face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord with glee, jumping up and down and clicking his heels. Just imagine it. Ooh, he said, he's going to take everything away from Job. I'm going to show him. I'm going to get to show him that there's no such thing as a man who will trust God. I'm going to get to show him that there's no such thing as a man who will trust God. What about you? Are you a candidate? That's the question we have to ask. Are you a candidate? If God turned Satan loose on you like that, would you stand the test? Do you walk by faith or by sight? That's the question. Do you serve God for naught? Do you serve God because it's profitable? See, the Word of God, if it doesn't step on our toes and pinch us like a board that's loose we sit on, then you haven't heard the Word of God. If it doesn't bother you, whenever God's Word speaks like this, see, we all have to face these things. Now, let me read on. I'm going to finish up. Verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And I'm not going to change that to grape juice. You can if you want to. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, now this is the bad news. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and cursed God. Oh, no. Oh, no. What'd he do? And worshiped. Old devil, you got it in the face. Job kicked him right between the teeth and right between the eyes. He busted it. Bless God for Job. Notice. Here's what he said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Well, we're going to stop there. Next time we'll start with the background and get a little more into the book. But I want you to get the sense of the book and Job and the conflict. Father, bless your word. Oh, Father, we know that to walk by faith is dangerous. It's dangerous. It means that we are open to Satan's attacks. And sometimes you let him attack us in order to prove us, in order to teach us, in order to help us to grow, because you love us. Oh, we wish we could understand love like that, but our old human love is mushy. Mushy and soft and sickly. God help us to understand, if nothing else, the love of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.